Please be seated. We will now commend this time of worship to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, and ever-blessed Lord God, thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, we thank thee that thou knowest all things. We thank thee that thou art present amongst us now. And we thank thee that thou knowest the feelings and emotions of our hearts on this occasion. We know that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou hast known what it is to grieve at death, and even to experience death itself. And we do pray that on this solemn occasion, thou wilt bless us with fond memories of our late sister Sheila Hawes, that thou wilt indeed encourage us and comfort us by the scriptures and by the hymns that we sing, and that all of these things might bring glory and honour to thy name, as we ask it for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
May I make one or two announcements before we begin the service proper, and on behalf of myself, the family, and also the church family, welcome each one of you here on this occasion, when, according to the scriptures, we lay to rest the mortal remains of Sheila Hawes, reflect upon her life and service to the Lord, and also that everlasting joy which is her happy portion now. May I thank each one of you for your presence here, for the expressions of sympathies which have been given, and for the messages of condolence which have been received from as far afield as Cornwall and Hertfordshire and Lincoln. In respect of donations, if anyone wishes to give in lieu of flowers, these will be for the work of the chapel and also for the Trinitarian Bible Society. A box is provided in the lobby, or they may be given to Mr. Gist, the undertaker, or any of his attendants. Following this service, we will journey to Kingscott for the interment in the chapel graveyard there. Those of you who are familiar with the village will know that parking is somewhat limited, and so the family have requested that only the immediate family and close friends and associates of Sheila attend the interment. We come then to worship God in the singing of our first hymn. And I might add that all the hymns, the tunes, and the scripture readings have been selected by our sister Sheila Hawes. And the first of them is this: through the night of doubt and sorrow, onward goes the pilgrim band, singing songs of expectation, marching to the promised land. The first hymn on the hymn sheet we will stand to sing.
Onward goes the pilgrim band, sing.
Once more, we will unite our hearts together as we approach the mercy seat of God in prayer and supplication. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord God, our holy and heavenly Father, as we are assembled in this place today, we pray that thou wilt be present amongst us, and that particularly, O Lord, thou wilt show thyself to be the God of all comfort in this time of sadness and of bereavement. Lord, we commend unto thee each one who is gathered here today, testifying as they do so to the connection which they have had with Sheila in life, and for the influence and impact which, in whatever way, she has had upon their lives. And we do ask, O Lord, that thou wilt grant comfort in measure with the sorrow that we feel at this time. Lord, we do particularly pray for the immediate family whom we lovingly commend unto thee, thinking particularly of the nieces and nephews, and praying for June and Michael and Sally and Terry, and remembering too their wider families in the natural loss which they feel. Lord, we pray too for ourselves as a church and fellowship here at North Road, where Sheila has been such a significant part over these past 20 years, and we do pray that we likewise might know thy comfort. Lord, we do thank thee for the life and testimony which our dear sister bore, and we thank thee for the faith which she had and the witness which she gave to it. And we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to raise up others like her in future days, that, O Lord, thy work on earth might be strengthened and that thy church might be built up. Lord, we do remember the village of Kingscott with which she was so closely associated over many years, and we think of the various friends and acquaintances and neighbours which she had there, several of whom are with us today. And likewise, O Lord, we pray for them. We do pray for that village particularly, thanking thee for the witness and thy word which was preached by virtue of that chapel there over many years. And Lord, we do pray that despite its closure, thy word might still have free course, and that thou wilt be pleased to save those whom thou hast appointed unto salvation in that part of the county. Lord, we do ask that thou wilt bless us in this service. We do pray that the thoughts and considerations which we have might cause us to think with seriousness upon our own lives and our mortality and that eternity which awaits us, that, O Lord, we might be challenged and comforted in due measure by the message of thy word. We ask, O Lord, that in all these things we might glorify and honour thy great and holy name, which things we ask for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
We're now going to read a portion from the scriptures, and you will find it included in your hymn sheet. This is from the 61st Psalm, a psalm written by King David of Israel by the inspiration of God. And this is what he has to say. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And may God bless unto us the public reading of the Holy Bible. Amen.
Amen.
And now we will join to sing the second hymn on the hymn sheet. The second hymn, "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me hast cleansed and set me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live to thee." The second hymn we will stand to sing. Time that remains to us this morning, I would like to pass some comments upon the life of Sheila Hawes, and very particularly upon her Christian faith and the God whom she loved and served throughout her life. And whilst I've personally known Sheila through the past 20 years that she has been associated with this chapel, I've been particularly grateful for reminiscences that have been given to me by one or two others more closely associated with her, particularly from Sally, her niece, and also from Bernard Hawes, her brother-in-law, and Mr. Robert Boswell, the last former member from the chapel at Kingscott. And these reminiscences are available in full in the lobby if you wish to have a read of them before you leave this morning. Of course, I feel obliged to say that Sheila would have hated any commentary upon herself. Those of us who know her know that she was a very private individual and very self-effacing. She would never complain about her lot or speak much about herself or her illnesses, and was always very keen to tell us that she belonged to a generation who was brought up not to complain. And she certainly put that into practice throughout her life and kept many details about herself to herself. In fact, whilst knowing her for 20 years at the chapel, we were not allowed to know how old she was or when her birthday was. Well, it transpires. It was the 12th of April, 1935. And concerning her early life, Sally tells us she worked in the village stores from the age of 15, and she also taught lessons in the Sunday school chapel rooms and also was chapel organist. She also met her future husband-to-be, Roy, in Kingscott. Bernard, in his letter, adds that Sheila and Roy, my eldest brother, were an inseparable couple. He did his national service with REME in a tented camp on the side of the Suez Canal, and Sheila would wait anxiously for the airmail Bluey, which was the only way families could keep in contact with loved ones on the other side of the world. I would walk up the hill with my mother to Whistley Cross every Sunday evening to meet up with Sheila and her parents, plus Mr. and Mrs. Cudmore from Warden's Cottages to walk on to the chapel at Kingscott. When Roy returned from National Service in 1956, they were married in the chapel and lived in one of the houses at the top of the hill, the windiest, coldest, wettest place in Devon in winter. But in summer, the skies were bright and sunny. Roy worked on the farm and Sheila worked at home gloving. I remember watching in amazement at her speed and dexterity with her treadle sewing machine, running up countless pairs of ladies' gloves for what must have been a pittance of pay. Such was the nature of Sheila and Roy's married life together. And whilst they did not have children of their own, Sheila was tremendously good with others. Sally remarks, Auntie She was in our lives ever since we were born. She was all of our favourite aunt. She was fun, loving, and generous with the chocolate bars, and her parties were the highlights for us children. Bernard Hawes adds that when his own mother died in 1959, just before he left school, they offered me a place to stay so I could complete schooling in Torrington. It must have been difficult for them, a couple not many years married, taking on a 15-year-old boy. Sheila took on the role of being my big sister and without doubt helped me through some difficult times adjusting to my new circumstances. Without her, I would have found coping with school very difficult. The chapel at Kingscott was a very prominent part of Sheila's life. She was brought up there as a child, as we have heard, and served very faithfully, both teaching in the Sunday school and playing the organ. Bob Boswell adds in his notes that both she and Roy were baptized at Dalton Baptistry, as there was none at Kingscott, a few years after their marriage, and supported Kingscott Chapel. She was noted for her hospitality and the spread laid on at home for visitors between harvest festival or anniversary services. Over decades, she would call on the needy, elderly, lonely, and those in Kingscott, helping in every way possible by practical tasks and offering a sympathetic ear. And doubtless many of you can recognize Sheila in those comments and could doubtless add very many more of your own. I was sorry not to have some more information about what we might call Sheila's Christian testimony and how she came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, what is sometimes called her conversion experience. But then, of course, I discovered that we do have it, and we actually have it here on the hymn sheet. Because, as you are also aware, no doubt, Sheila was a very great fan of poetry and of hymn singing. And for 30 years, she belonged to a Beeford choir and was one of their reciters. And she also knew her Bible. And you will find that there is much of Sheila's testimony and experience here in the hymns which she chose for us to sing today and in this reading from the Word of God. You will notice there in Psalm 61, the psalmist says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Sheila knew what it was to call upon the Lord in consciousness of her own need and the troubles which she faced. And throughout her life, there were doubtless many of those afflictions and difficulties. The privations of early married life, and later, as you know, she suffered in relatively short order the loss of her husband and of her elder brother, and then had the care of her mother for several years before her mother's death. She knew what it was to feel overwhelmed by circumstances such as that, and to cry to the Lord in prayer for help and deliverance. But of course, the Bible teaches us about a greater problem than simply the afflictions and difficulties of our daily lives. It speaks of the problem of our own sinfulness by nature, which in and of ourselves we can do nothing about. We cannot deliver ourselves from our own natural sinfulness, not by mere chapel attendance or playing organs or teaching in Sunday schools. We need something outside of ourselves, someone greater than ourselves, that rock that is higher than ourselves, of which this psalm speaks. We are speaking, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Sheila came to know in a personal way. As this third hymn, which we will shortly sing, tells us, some think of the experience when in reading the Bible or in listening to the preaching from it, it speaks very personally to ourselves. And Sheila could testify in these words, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." As Psalm 61 goes on to tell us, those who come to the Lord Jesus in that way find him to be all that they need for the problems which face them, for the sin which they cannot deliver themselves from. They find in him, and you will see the descriptions here in this passage, a tabernacle, a covert, a shelter, and a strong tower. And this is what Sheila proved the Lord to be, and this is what helped her in dealing with the difficulties and adversities which life constantly throws up. She also grew in her Christian faith and developed in her understanding over the years, and was particularly benefited here under the ministry of our former pastor, Mr. W.H. Molland. And she came to a greater understanding of what some call the doctrines of grace, or Calvinism, or we prefer to call the truth of the Bible. And that's why the second hymn was sung by us. "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me hast cleansed and set me free of old. Thou hast ordained me that I should live to thee." Sheila was delighted to discover in reading the Bible God's choice of her, his sovereignty in matters of salvation, that it was he who had delivered her and saved her from her sins. Now, Sheila, as we know, had what might be reckoned a long life of 82 years. But the source of her strength and her preservation was not particularly in the lifestyle which she lived, or in a particular diet, or anything of that nature. No, she was preserved, as this psalm tells us, by God. King David, writing this psalm, says, "Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him." Our sister Sheila was upheld in her daily life, in her Christian life, by the mercy and truth of God. That was what preserved her and brought her so much joy and kept her going in the face of adversity. We well know the words of that 23rd Psalm, which speak of goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. Here is a similar verse. Except here it is God's mercy and truth which follow us throughout our existence and keep us upon that straight and narrow way. Because the Christian life, as you know, is one of pilgrimage. And the first hymn which we sang described something of that. Through the night of doubt and sorrow, onward goes the pilgrim band, singing songs of expectation, marching to the promised land. Clear before us through the darkness gleams and burns the guiding light. Pilgrim clasps the hand of pilgrim, stepping fearless through the night. As Christians, we know what it is to look for a home outside of this world, to know ourselves to be pilgrims and sojourners in this present existence. But it is a particular delight when we can walk that pathway together in company with other believers, which we were privileged to do with Sheila in this local church and fellowship, where pilgrim clasps the hand of pilgrim, stepping fearless through the night. You know, my friends, it is somewhat ironic that in speaking of death and the end of our natural lives, we often speak of a departure or of one being departed. But you will notice that as that first hymn goes on to say, it is not so much about departure as arrival somewhere else. One, the gladness of rejoicing on the far eternal shore, where the one almighty Father reigns in love forevermore. That was Sheila's faith and confidence. That was also what David the psalmist believed, as we hear him speak in remarkable terms here in Psalm 61, using language of himself, which if he believed this life were all that there is, would not make any sense. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. He says, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. What is the Christian's heritage? What is their inheritance to look forward to? He goes on to describe it. He shall abide before God forever. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. My friends, that we are confident is our sister Sheila's testimony now, that she, though departing this present life, and though we put her mortal remains to rest in the ground shortly, she herself dwells in the presence of God eternally, there to sing his praise and to look upon his face and to enjoy the presence of the Lord and Saviour whom she loved in this life, in the life everlasting. And might God grant to those of us who are gathered here that same faith and that same glorious destination as our friend Sheila Hawes. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We are now going to join together to sing the third hymn on our hymn sheet. And after we have sung this hymn, I would ask, please, if you would remain standing, when we will have a closing prayer and then the funeral cortege will depart. The third hymn then, as chosen by Sheila, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. The third hymn on our hymn sheet.
Of Jesus. Say.
Sovereign Lord God, we pray for thy blessing to be upon each one of us, that thou wilt comfort us with that comfort which resides in thyself. And we thank thee that though we mourn not as others which have no hope, knowing the glorious and eternal hope and confidence of our sister whom we shall now lay to rest. Now, unto him that is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.